You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. An afternoon drive home like no other.
I was going to work on the new CBA till I got high. I was going to take the PA to the cleaners till I got high.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
The top five Peeler song of all time, I would say.
You think so?
Oh, God. This is a starting rotation song.
No, I thought Girls, like the crew of Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yes.
That was gets
the
you,
Dollhouse
That gets the
song.
Stutter step. That gets the run stash slash stutter step right out on.
The O-Dog is doing the stutter step in studio here for us.
I have seen so many stutter steps in my day.
6-inch heels, and none of them have ever blown a wheel.
And it is just a crossover and a stutter step like you've never seen.
Yeah. Magical girls, footwork.
Girls, 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 number one.
Yeah, I would.
That should be honest. That should happen at the combine. The NFL combine, these players should have to put on 6-inch heels and do a stutter step.
And see if
we'll see what kind of footwork you have. Then we'll see
how nimble you are.
Yeah, let's see if you can be an O-lineman in the NFL.
That's hilarious.
Because I don't know if you can pull it off. I'll bet you you'd start weeding guys out real quick.
The other one is smoking in the boys' room. That one.
Smoking. You know what? We should go to like a thrift store and get some just Peeler heels and do a stutter step comp tomorrow.
I would, you know, we'd all
just
break our ankles.
Get me some giant size 11 monster heels.
Like a 12-inch heel.
It wouldn't go well.
And do a stutter step Peeler competition.
You'd look like Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons wore the big boots on stage.
What was the point of that? Like, I know it worked for a while, like,
but... the hair and the makeup and the tongue or whatever, but...
Like, they must have gotten annoyed with that after a while. Like,
probably
they made
makeup on it, but, like, Kiss is probably... Now, I'm speaking out of turn, but one of the longest-standing, greatest bands of all time in people's eyes. I mean, you talk to guitar players, they're like, Ace Frehley was a disaster as a guitarist. Because, I mean, they played, you know, 5 chords.
Right. They're not overly, like, musically inclined.
But if you talk to, like, look at how many albums they've sold, how big of a following they have, the Kiss Army. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had them on my mask. You guys know the story of, you know, Gene Simmons
Meeting
and
Gene
me
Simmons.
And all that. But it's, they are legendary. And that was their shtick.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is if you went to a Kiss show and they were dressed normally...
Yeah, there was a while where they were a little bit normal. Like,
oh, is that right?
Well, they had...
Because I remember when they had that big comeback, they were Kiss again.
Yes.
Like they came out. And,
but they were rolling out Ace Frehley. He could barely move. He's standing there, like, hooked into the stage. And then, you know, there was times where they had the Bad Boys of Kiss, which were just Peter, Chris, and Ace Frehley, that they were doing, like, the bar circuit. My buddy hung out with them for, like, 4 days in Edmonton. They played Cowboys. Like a gritty bar.
Well, that happens with a lot of those bands. Now, Kiss is different because they were so big and they've been big for so long. You're not going to see that out of the big, big bands. But bands that make it big for an album or two.
Yeah.
But, and you wonder, where have they gone? Like, they had a big album when they were in their early to mid-20s, and now they're in their 40s. What are they doing?
Well, some
and they're playing bars, and they're playing Casino Rama, and they're playing, you know what I mean? Like,
and they're probably still doing very
still
well.
Still making some money. They've got a loyal following, right?
I was up in Casino Rama recently, last weekend, and to see, I mean, it's a really impressive venue. I saw the comedian Sebastian. He starts this show going, "Where the hell are we?" He's like...
So he probably thought, "I'm going to Toronto for a show," and then all of a sudden
he
he's
did
up
Hamilton the Friday night, and then he did Casino Rama the Saturday, Sunday. He's like, "We drove for 2 hours. I saw nothing." He's like, "Do people live here?" He did a whole bit on it. It was quite funny. But Casino Rama is... You drive up there, and all of a sudden there's this
beautiful
casino.
Out of nowhere, it's a massive casino.
Yeah.
Did you play the felt? Did he hit the felt at all?
Did not. We were in and out. It was nice. It was good. Like, we don't live, I mean, living more north, it's not that far to get up
there.
No,
you can get up to 400 and get up there pretty quickly. Leafs Pens tonight. So it's Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. And with the Leafs now, whoever they play, it's you know, who's the better duo?
Yeah, compare.
Who would you take? Right? Yeah. I'm hoping for a lot of penalties tonight because I'm not sure which power play would terrify me more. Historically, it's Pittsburgh's, right? When you've got Sid, yeah. Phil, Malkin, Letang.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter who the fifth guy is. And it's the same thing with the Leafs right now.
Yeah.
Where the Leafs are putting up numbers. They're batting like 500 on the power play. Like, and now the second power play is chipped in with Marlowe scoring a couple of nights ago.
Levo.
And Levo scored on Saturday night. But as we said earlier in the week, when we were talking about the Lars Eller comments, and Eller, we didn't mention this, but he actually walked them back a little bit. He went up to a media member and said, listen, I'll explain the context of me saying, hey, this Leaf team isn't that impressive or whatever. He just was pointing out that you play against great players all the time. So they're like all these other teams when you play Sid, Malkin, et cetera. But
he kind of, I actually do understand the comments. It just, I don't label it as clickbait, but I would have liked to see what the question was and the context of it.
Yeah, like I based on the way that Eller kind of circled back, my read on the situation was they were kind of trying to lead the witness in a way like, hey, did you get more amp for this game because it was the Leafs? And he's like, what, you don't think I get amp when we play Crosby and Malkin?
Yeah, we just played them on the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, why would
so
I not
get amp?
So, yes,
we got amp for this, but we got amp for them, too. Yeah. And we're going to get amped when Jamie, Benn, and Sagan roll through and Taves and Kane. And,
yeah, right.
But as we said, or at least I was saying earlier in the week, like Crosby and Malkin are the gold standard of duos. And Babcock went out of his way to kind of shut down the whole comparison or the battle or whatever. And he made the point. He goes, because everyone's talking about McDavid and Matthews right now.
Yeah.
Who's the greatest? Who's the best? Blah, blah, blah. And even Sid came out today and said he thinks McDavid is now the best because he's won back-to-back Ted Lindsay's and Hart and scoring titles and all that. But Babcock makes an important point. Like, Sid's got three cups, two gold medals.
Yeah. Conn Smythe's,
you know, MVPs.
Geno's got. And Babcock just flat out said Matthews and McDavid. He made sure to say McDavid as well.
I think
don't have either.
Likes tossing that out there because he was a part of the two Olympic gold medals.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's fair.
I know it's fair.
But it's unfair to bring that up because the players, they don't go to the Olympics anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, if they were there in 2018, McDavid would have a gold too. Now, Crosby would have three, in my opinion, but still, McDavid would be able to cite, hey, I have one, and who knows, maybe Matthews would have a silver or something.
Yeah.
But the cups,
it is unfair.
You can't dance around that. It's just the truth. Crosby's got three. McDavid and Matthews don't have any.
Yeah, and you hope that that's the asterisk saying yet, you know, and that's, but Babcock's just diffusing it because you know what? What if he says, yeah, these guys are coming or they're next, they've arrived, they're here. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We just
well, that
talked
first
about
way,
Nick,
Jamie of Crosby and Taze, like they won their cups and then they had to talk about getting paid and where their salary is going to be.
Yeah.
This new wave, they haven't won anything. And they're just like, where is it?
Hook it up.
Where's the cash?
I do wonder how often that's come up in the Nylander conversation.
Winning?
Well, playoff performance. Like, how much do you get paid? Do you get paid based on the regular season or the playoffs? Like, it's complicated because you're one player. Like, right. McDavid, last year he wasn't in the playoffs. It didn't take away from his greatness.
Right.
If he was up for a contract this past summer as opposed to two summers ago, he would have got the same deal.
Yeah, it's
Shirelli wouldn't have gone to him and been like, sorry, you didn't make the playoffs this year, so you only get $10 million a year.
The special guys, their contract writes itself. You fill out the numbers and you sort it out. Where you start to get to the second tier and the third tier of, and this is no slight on them,
it's just the truth.
Yeah, so let's just say Nylander, to me, fits into tier three. There's super elite, superstar, there's great player, and then there's very good player. And I think Nylander would be very good player, along with Nikolaj Ehlers and the comparables that they had. Pastrnak is higher up. To me, Pastrnak is the great player right below
bordering super on elite. Super elite. That's
okay,
how
so
good
let's
he is.
Let's leave that one out of the comparables.
Sure.
So that's when you start to look at other things, playoff performances. What have you done in tough games? Like, you know, you go back to arbitration, and this is the awful one where when Milbury destroyed Tommy Salo, he had like a blow by blow. Like, here's the 70 games you played for. you cost us the game this night, made bad, like went to save percent, went to all these things. Like, I don't think the negotiations would be that ugly because you're just working on a contract. You're not, you
and know, it's not arbitration.
Yeah, you're not
there's
destroying
no
the
deadline,
person.
So to speak. But you would think the Leafs are countering and would counter with, well, look at this,
right,
and look at that, and hey, like in the big picture again, when you compare what the Leafs are hopefully building,
right,
to what Pittsburgh built and what Chicago built, those guys got the biggest money after they had at least been to a cup final or won something. And
right,
the Leafs are not in that position. Now, the league has changed, and the landscape of free agency and specifically that second contract has really drastically changed.
Right.
Now, the star players, they spend 3 years in the league, and they get paid an eight-year deal worth a fortune. And
it's what we what everyone thinks you're going to do, and it used to be at 31, you got paid
based on what
for
you
what
used
you did
to do
before.
Yeah.
So it's the league is different. It's shaped differently. I still... maybe I'm in the minority of this. I still believe that William Nylander should be bridged.
Well, and it sounds like that is becoming more and more of a possibility based on some of the information coming out of the Switzerland meeting yesterday. Leafs Pens down at Scotiabank. You can watch it on TSN 4, hear it on TSN 1050. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, he's going to have the call tonight. Here's our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Well, I just walked into the rink, guys, and like, new entrances, like this new, you know, Scotiabank's putting their stamp all over the place here. There's new entrances, new hallways, new stuff you never see. And I'm like, oh, that's new.
Really?
I walked in, yeah. I walked in the wrong door because I, you know, how you know when you do something all the time and you don't pay attention? I just walked into a door. I'm like, there's nobody here. I can't come in this way anymore. There's not even a door or an entryway anymore. So... they're spending some cash, but I don't know what they're spending upstairs, but downstairs it looks a lot different.
That's true. You spend $800 million or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You can move a door around every once in a while.
I like how no one who goes to the game can go out for a dart and come back in, but the people that work in the rink, there's one door, they will have a dart fest and wheel back in there. I love that one. Anyway, not important.
Oh, so, yeah, you can't re-enter, right?
Oh, well, no, if you work there, if you work there, you can.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, you're a fan. Oh, look, Gord's here, too. He wants to buy me dinner tonight. Isn't that nice?
Wow. Take advantage while you can.
Yeah. I haven't had cash since 1984, so he always seems to have it, so he can pay for it.
I got divorced, too, Ray. I don't have cash either, bud.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah, it's not there.
It's not smart. We were talking about this earlier. There was a time when if you were to buy tickets, the Pittsburgh ticket, that was the go-to. I mean, that was it. You had to buy it. You know, 7, 8 years ago when Sid and Malkin were still relatively new to the league and torching the league, that was the number one ticket you had to get. Now, for me, it's McDavid and the Oilers. They're only here once. But if you, where does Pittsburgh rank for you now? Like in terms of your excitement, even just applying it to what you do, calling a game, where does Pittsburgh rank?
I'm excited for the game, actually. There's certain games you do, and you know, Noodles, you do them, and that's on the schedule, and you hope it's a good game. But there's no real grab to it. But I know they're in their 30s now, which is just ridiculous for me to think about. But I'm excited to see Crosby and Malkin. I always am. I always think that something great might be there that night. And so that's for sure. It's funny though, like, you know, you mentioned about the, you know, the go-to ticket being McDavid, and it's for a long time the NHL refused to publicize or hang their hat on individual players. It was always team. And the fact of the matter is, teams do matter. Like, there are cool teams to go watch. But when there's an individual star, that overrides everything, all of it. And let's face it, people want to watch McDavid. They're not excited to pay premium game tickets to watch a team that's missed the playoffs 10 of 11 years. It's Connor McDavid. And if the Oilers get good, that'll be great. It'll be, yeah, we're going to watch the Oilers, but you're really going to watch Connor McDavid.
Yeah, he could be anywhere. He could be in Arizona. He could be in San Jose.
Exactly.
He could be in Florida. It's all McDavid. It really is. And That's what's so amazing about Pittsburgh.
Unfortunately for the Oilers, it's about McDavid, too.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
too much.
100%, and that's the amazing thing about Pittsburgh is that they have Sid, who was McDavid 10, 12 years ago.
Think of the line mates, and no disrespect to Dupuis and Kunitz, but can you imagine what this guy would have done with stud wingers?
Like, but it seems like he does better with the worker bees.
Yeah,
I get it, but you know what it's like. It's you get the right worker bee superstar and.
What, do you think it'll change as he gets older? Could you see in 5 years he's like, you got to hook me up with a stud? So
He might have to if he slows down and just he's not the same guy. Nobody stays the same forever. And he's getting to that age where it's like, okay, it's go time with what you got. I know you're a fitness freak and you do this and you do that, but you're 30, 31 now. Let's see what you got in the new era.
Well, for sure. There comes a time for everybody that you're like, okay, I need more help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, you know, it's kind of interesting reading about the way that the Penguins' first five games have gone. You know, outside of their first night where they won 7-6, they haven't had 30 shots in a game. They're playing, you know, Mike Sullivan, the coach, says, what we're trying to do is score. We're not trying to win. Everything's a one and out. And I think as you get older, there are nights you look for the easiest way to play. And because you just don't have it on those nights. And so I would say, you know, as they get older, he's going to, you know, it would be nice if him and Kessel played together well, but they don't. So Kessel's with Malkin. And so tonight he's got Brian Rust and Jake Guentzel. And while Guentzel's got 4 goals, he's not a guy that's moving the needle for Crosby. He's not tugging Crosby along. That's for sure.
Ray, I think back in the day, Crosby went to the organization and said, give me 8.7 for, I don't know what it was, 8 or 9 year deal. What do you think Austin Matthews could do for the Maple Leafs going to the organization and saying, I want to get paid, but I still want the team to win? What do you think that would look like? Is that 10 million? Is it 11? Is it, I don't know. What do you think he could do to say, I want to get paid, but I want this team to win? Here's my number.
I don't know what the number would be, but my first thought, when you were saying that was, I mean, if you have that much sway, which he would, because you would be leaving literally millions of dollars on the table, would you not say, and I want to have input in the guys that you're bringing in here?
Yeah.
And you want me to give up millions of dollars a year? What if I don't think the guys you're bringing in are any good? And it happens in basketball for sure. But could it happen in hockey? Like, why would... Like, I when Sid...
Like, is that you're saying, like, the hockey option or the hockey version of stock options where it's like, I want to know who's coming in and out of here? That's a lot of...
Isn't it more likely, though, guys, that he would say, okay, I'll do this, but the second I want Babcock out, he's out? Not the players, but when I want a new coach, I'll come calling to you. That's more likely, in my
opinion.
It's
a risky game,
well,
man.
That's why I would never, like, I just myself personally, knowing what I know and, you know, looking back at my career from, you know, from high above, if I were in that position, I wouldn't give up $2 and $3 million a year, even in today's dollars, for an 8-year contract. It's $15-16 million. And you have no control past that. What if the manager makes 3 bonehead moves and all of a sudden your team sucks and you're driven in for 8 years and you've also given up $15 million? Like, it could happen. It happens a lot because nobody can make the right choice all the time. Nobody, no GM, the best of the best, they can't make the right choice all the time.
I it's tough to leave money on the table, but I think you could find somewhere in between. If we were talking about this before, especially the Toronto market, Austin Matthews, say he leaves, let's just say $1 million on the table.
Per year.
If you believe that he could get 12.5 and he says, you know what, let's do $1.5 million. Let's give me Tavares's money, 11. I think there's some way that the Maple Leafs could find a way to make that up. The market could, as far as endorsements and stuff. And he's going to get them regardless. But there is a happy medium if you want to be creative. And that's where I keep coming back to creativity. There's a hard cap, no doubt about that, and you're not circumventing it. But if you want to squeeze every cent out of an organization, at some point, that's going to come back to bite you because you may have to leave something on the table that could help put you over the top. And that's not his responsibility, and I know that. That's the responsibility of the Toronto Maple Leafs to
but
find...
Are they going to go at Noodles? Are they going to go to everybody else too?
No, I don't think they can. I think all I'm saying is that Austin Matthews doesn't have a responsibility to leave money on the table for them to win. The Toronto Maple Leafs have to make it work financially, and that you may have to throw somebody overboard after his contract is done.
You saw with Chicago, it's not just multiple people overboard.
No, but you're right. But there's, to me, I still think there's a happy medium. Like, could McDavid have gotten more? Like, that's my question. Could he have gotten 13.5?
Well, technically, he could have, of course.
Right.
That's when I say how much.
But that's what, like, how much is enough for Austin Matthews in his mind where he's not blowing the bank and blowing his team's chances of trying to surround him with a player
McDavid's a good, sorry to butt in, Noodles, I just thought is McDavid's a great choice. So
right.
let's say he left $1 million on the table. Like, it could have been 13.5 and it became 12.5. Well, they've done a bang up job with the money around them, haven't they?
No, you're right, they haven't. But
and he left $1 million on the table for it.
But
he left Daryl Katz $1 million extra per year, and he had direct impact on the first 9 goals of the year.
Right.
Well, you know what? The thing about that, though, Ray, is
perfect way.
I think I still believe he did that simply for PR, and I think it was smart. Like, it's a charitable move, but it's a PR move. I think he invested in his own PR and his own market because I think, as unfair as it is, fans...
Go get this guy's jersey. You got to have it.
No, fans are going to say, wow, look at that. Now Draisaitl can get paid. Good for you, Connor. You love it in Edmonton. I believe that was a PR move. I don't think he had to do it.
Okay, but see, these are great examples. So Hayes, like, so McDavid takes 12.5, so they can pay Draisaitl 8.5. Well, Draisaitl didn't take less.
No.
Draisaitl got over his market value at that time, and possibly because McDavid left money on the table. Well,
right.
How's that right? Why didn't Draisaitl take less? And then pretty soon the next guy takes less. That's, I don't know, guys. There probably is a way to wedge a little bit off, but that's not, I mean, Mitch Marner's not going to take less money because Austin Matthews took less money,
mm-hmm.
but then William Nylander got more money. Like, none of that makes any sense.
Ray, we're doing a new segment on the show. Have a listen. This is scary Halloween music. Do you have anything? Do you think David Price's underpants will be singing this song tonight?
I think David Price will pitch 5 innings tonight and will pitch well.
Is there any defenseman in the NHL that made this song go off in your head when the puck was in the corner where you got scaredy cats?
Several. Darian Hatcher.
What about
Craig Ludwig, Brian Marchman.
I was just going to say, Brian Marchman, like, he was one of the nastiest players ever. Like, and people still don't talk about him as one of the dirtiest players, but I thought he was.
He created
I'm going to throw one more in there.
Stains.
Charlie Manson, too. Dave Manson.
Yeah. Yes. Ooh. Dave Manson. Terrifying.
His son's terrifying, too.
Yeah,
and really good.
Great.
Ray, happy Halloween, buddy.
Oh, happy Halloween. What's your favorite Halloween treat?
I like a full bar, like a Twix bar, a full one. Not a little mini
Twix bar?
Thing.
Yeah.
Twix.
I'll take
me,
a...
O. Henry.
Really?
Oof.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, an O. Henry is
I'll take
good.
A Big Turk.
Yes.
No, what is that red stuff?
Me and Noodles are the only two guys that...
It's a red juju.
That's awful.
Noodles, there's little Big Turk bites.
I know.
They're
I've
amazing.
Seen them.
They're
and
amazing.
They're low in fat, only 4 grams of fat. They're pretty good.
Look at you knowing that.
Yeah. So invested in Big Turk.
When the kids come home with a bag of Halloween candy and I see 100 of those little chocolate bars in there, I'm furious. I'm like, this is not right. And then I eat 27 of the little ones. But I can't stop.
We bought ours
get
last
it out
night.
Of the house.
It's October 18th and we had to buy... The 300 mini chocolate
I told
bars.
You, Peg Bundy's halfway through ours already.
Oh, they'll be gone by the end of the weekend.
It's not even, like, I've got to go back to Costco.
That's
and
what
go
I'm,
back. Like, it's
on
it's
Sunday,
ridiculous.
I'll be sent back.
It's ridiculous.
Hayes, you're going to go to the Hayes house, trick or treat, and you're going to get 6 coins for UNICEF.
You're going to get Maple Leaf hot takes.
Could you imagine?
That's what I'm giving out this year.
You started saying, like, hey, just so you know, Matthews is going to get 50 this year. Tell your dad. Move along.
Set up a picnic table with a headset. Just a picnic table with a headset.
Here, sit down.
Come over
here.
I want to talk to you.
Every kid gets a hot take for Halloween.
Oh, I think awesome. You've got something. That is outstanding.
It's a great idea.
Just play this music and have hot takes.
That's the Hayes household this year.
You got a table with a headset.
What'd you get from that house over there? Yeah. Started ranting about Kadri needing more ice time exactly. or something.
And it's scaring him.
That's awesome.
Enjoy it tonight, Ray. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then, boys, later.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray will join us courtesy of the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals on the Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%, mapletoyota.com. I think I've stumbled across a great idea. Hot takes
awesome.
For Halloween.
Hot takes. That's what we're going to have Halloween hot takes. One a day.
I think we're wasting all this material. It's October 18th.
I know.
We've still got 10 days.
We have a long time before Halloween, but...
Any more good stories about our new favorite song?
Yeah, they're actually having some really good ones coming in.
What have you got?
Well, Fabio just sent this one in, that Frankie Corrado heard this music when he first met Mike Babcock a couple of years ago. That's true.
Fair.
There's a lot of them.
I used to hear this song when the... team services guy would come up to me and be like, coach wants to see you in his office. All I heard was this full blast in my head walking down there.
Someone sent this in yesterday, that Feather heard this when he found out the boys were not going to Harvey's after practice.
You know when I heard
gotta
this?
Get my dad. My dad was in the stands when he snapped his stick in half.
You know what I heard this? Oh, you could concur with this. After a day off, maybe a 2-day off, you walk in, and on the whiteboard it says, weigh in with the strength and conditioning guy.
There would be 5 guys in the steamer, like just sitting in there for an hour.
Yeah.
Panicking. I'm like,
cutting weight.
You're mid-season. Cutting weight just so that you can make that weigh-in, because you've been a week-long road trip. And having a good time, and you put on a few pounds, you get back home and have a day off and a night out, you're easily 5 pounds heavier than what you should
be. Oh, you fluctuate 4 or 5
pounds. There was an Olympic break
these.
My last year in Toronto, and I stepped on the scale, and you know that meme where the guy's like blinking? He looks like Chris Pronger.
Yeah, the guy who looks like Pronger.
Yeah, he's just like, he's blinking, and that's what I did. I was like, pardon me?
This can't be real.
It was like, what is it? A 2-week break?
Or? I always thought somebody was stepping on the scale behind you. Like, people mess with you and lean on the scale.
I told you, Feather had a plan where he wouldn't put it in the right slot. It would be just a quarter inch behind it, so it would shave off 15. He was a legend.
I love that story. Montreal, game day skate.
The team services guy opened the door to the dressing room and said, we're getting subs for lunch. He smashed his stick on the ice and said, no, Harvey's. My dad was in the building. He witnessed it. We got to call my dad and get his
We do need him to corroborate this story. Watching Feather
go nuts.
Demand Harvey's.
Because when we were in, I don't know, for some reason, being down in the States, when we went to Montreal, it was automatic Harvey's. You played in...
Yeah, but it was, for us, it was that St. Hubert chicken was always waiting for
us. St. Hubert is outstanding. It's only in Quebec now.
I enjoy it, but it was the St. Hubert chicken.
When I was with Hartford in Carolina, after practice, you walked up that street by Chez Paris, and that Harvey's on the main street. All my teammates, it was like a team lunch, a Harvey's burger.
Mm-hmm. I haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah, we might have to invest. Mark tweeting in saying, the guy... that works for the Maple Leafs, who's in charge of nameplates on the back of jerseys. He heard the Halloween song when the Leafs drafted Semyon Der Argud-Jacentev, or whatever
exactly.
that kid's name was. Der Argud-Jacentev.
Yes.
I think anybody would hear this song when they tried Noodle's pants on and gave it a test run.
You're talking about the previous hour with the flatulence
the fart
pants.
Catchers?
The fart-catching jeans.
I was like, what?
Basically, Wranglers. They're just Wranglers disguised as.
That's all it's going to be. Yeah, it'll just be multi-layered.
They're called
Scuzzies or
Shreddies.
Shreddies.
Yes.
I'm going to order a pair.
All right. Brian Windhorst in about a half an hour. The Raptors was sloppy at times, but a win is a win is a win. Kawhi with a double-double. Lowry played really well last night. Boston in town tomorrow. LeBron making his debut tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Leafs Pens tonight down at Scotiabank. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. And watch it on TSN 4. Overdrive has a pair of tickets for the Leafs Jets tonight on Saturday, October 27th. That's what we're giving away. Every day this week, we will provide a clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. If you're the first one to call in with the answer correct, you pick up a pair of tickets. Leafs, Jets, Saturday, October 27th. The clue today, this Maple Leaf played on the Skyline when he was in Toronto. That was the name of a line that he was a part of, the Skyline. That is today's clue.
Is that something I'm...
You should be familiar with it.
The Skyline?
I just read what they hand over to me, okay?
The only line I remember was like the Legion of Doom. You know what? Are there any lines that have been named these days? What's the last line you've ever heard of? I think
Merlot line in Boston is the last one I can think of. Remember that fourth line of your buddy?
Greg Campbell.
Paillet. And was it the tough guy?
Sean Thornton.
Yeah, the Merlot line. But it's the last line I could think being named.
Doesn't that top line for the Bruins have a name? I thought they did.
They should.
Pass
They're so
something?
Good.
Yeah, no. I don't know what it is. They all have nicknames, but I thought there was like, KLM line, whatever it is.
Yeah, KLM was one, but that's an acronym for, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, that was Russian. Krutov, okay, Larionov, and Makarov.
Makarov, there it is.
Yeah, but that was...
But that was a long time ago.
I'm talking, what would be nicknames for some of the, like, we should get some going, like, new school.
I think that Boston line deserves one for sure. They lost in Calgary, but did you see that fan with the big Marchand posters show up at the rink last night? The licking poster, which looked a little bit creepy, but I give them credit for creativity. I think it was pretty well done.
Yeah.
And speaking of fans in the stands, I mean, we were talking a lot about this in the previous hour, but Troy Caldwell, feel a little bit uneasy even saying the guy's name, but we're in Toronto. He lives in Houston.
Yeah.
But I guess he is the fan that is being pegged as the Bartman of 2018 in Houston, but he didn't reach out. You know, like that, if you missed it last night, there was a lot of controversy in that Boston-Houston game. It was an exceptional game. It was a back-and-forth game all night. But Mookie Betts, I think he timed it perfectly. I think he would have caught that ball. I do think he was interfered, but that's not the point. I think the ball was into the stands, and once the ball is in the stands, it's free game.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, you can grab the guy's glove and throw it back onto the field. It doesn't matter.
I'm reading about Troy Caldwell right now. Apparently, he's doubling down. Him and his wife are going back to tonight's game.
Good. Good for them. Because you have to learn from Bartman. Bartman went like dark and left and took off.
But
people were waiting outside of his office.
That was a different series. Like, that's a different type of like.
It's also a different city. Chicago's crazy about sports. The Cubs at that point in 03 had not won a World Series. Right. Houston won a World Series last year. They're still in it.
Right.
A different context. But the point is, Bartman was gone. He just disappeared.
And never reappeared.
Has never resurfaced.
Didn't they give him a ring?
They did, or they invited him back, and he didn't accept the invitation. I think they made up a ring for him, and I'm assuming he got it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think this is the move. If you're Troy Caldwell, you get out in front of this, and you say, listen, I'm going back to the game. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Blame Joe West in baseball. It wasn't me, man. Yeah. The ball comes into the stands. I'm entitled to my space, and I'm entitled to grabbing it. Bartman and the other fans around there, wasn't just Bartman. There were 10 different people that reached out to try to grab that ball.
Right.
It just happened to hit his hands first, and then he was the guy that looked like Waldo, basically, so everyone pointed him out.
Yeah, he got sewered by whoever tweeted it out immediately. It was like, that's the guy.
Well, it was the broadcast, right? Like, Twitter wasn't around back then. Yeah. It was the broadcast that kept going back to it, and they were like, this is the guy, he did it.
Yeah.
And he had such a unique outfit on. He had like a green turtleneck and a blue sweatshirt and a Cubs hat.
People go
out the Halloween part.
Barman. It's a great costume. But he was listening to the game as well on the radio, which
he's
is such
listening
a,
to them
with the geekiest headset
just sewer
on.
Him.
And I think that's when it dawned on him, because he was listening to the radio call and they're like, this guy is getting torched and how could he do this? I can't believe he did this to
the
Cubs.
Big trouble.
And then I guess what was happening is people were texting into the people in his area that were watching at home being like, hey, get that guy. Like, he just cost us the game in the NLCS.
That's crazy.
And then eventually word started to spread and Bartman realized, like, we're in big trouble here.
I
got to get out of here. Where this guy in Houston last night, he said, listen, I didn't do anything wrong, and I don't think he did.
No.
You can't do anything. If the ball is in the stands...
What do you
have to catch it?
Everyone else would do the same thing.
Yeah, and based on safety purposes, this is where if baseball had any brains, they'd get out in front of this as well and say, listen, this is the we got it wrong. It should have been a home run. You have to urge your fans to protect themselves. If the ball goes in the stands, you have to be able to catch that ball.
Yeah.
You know, you can't tell fans, hey, get out of the way. There's a chance some guy might catch it. Because then someone takes one off the chest or off the nose or something. You can't do that.
Yeah, it is. It is a safety issue, but
I mean, last night wasn't going to hit the guy in the
wasn't
face or anything, but
anybody. But still, it's
in general.
We're getting texts and tweets. I forgot the HBK line
when Haglin,
Bonino, and Kessel.
Right,
the 70s line in LA.
Oh,
the young kids.
Yep.
So there is a couple out there, but
Adam's tweeting and saying the Tavares, Marner, Hyman line could have like a Toronto name to
like
it.
Like a GTA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that from Robert.
Yes.
GTA line.
Maybe that's the GTA line.
I like that.
Something like that. All three guys from the greater Toronto area.
Could be.
Should we coin it and then we'll just claim that we came up with it?
Well,
let's
we clearly haven't
we'll
because
better,
it was somebody who texted into us.
There. All right, we'll come up with something better.
But there is. But I would still like to see if... But lines get switched up so much. That's the challenge. 70s line doesn't play together because Jeff Carter was on that.
Right.
And
no, exactly. It doesn't work that way anymore. Like, how long was the Legion of Doom even intact?
Well, probably it felt like it was a couple years. Like Renberg, LeClaire with that weird stick.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and then Lindros.
LeClaire and Lindros were there for a long time, but was Renberg there for that long?
I think Renberg was at least a couple years. But I mean, the focal point was Eric. It wasn't anybody else.
But technically, I mean, those guys were on the line.
Yeah.
Right? Like, John LeClaire tapped in 50.
Yeah. LeClaire was a really good player. He just had, for a goalie, he had such a weird stick. It was like a wedge. And he would just, like, chip the puck.
Ooh. Curve.
Could you even backhand the puck with that stick? Like, I don't know if you remember that curve.
It was like an open wedge.
Yeah,
like, it was just a...
It was a 9-iron, kind of like a, but it had a bend on it, too. It was weird.
That was goofy. I don't know how, like, that was one of those sticks you look at and you're like, how do you even play with this?
Yeah. Al MacInnis had a all upshoot. It was, backhand was not in his forte. It was, he used to backhand, he would just turn and pivot and pass. He would never backhand the puck.
I guess they were together for like 2 years.
There you go.
Legion of Doom. First registered a point. February 11th, 95, and was broken up in the 97 season at some point. That's a pretty good run. You play with the same three guys for 2 years. It's a really good run. I guess, you know, there were games where they would shift off, but really Hyman, Matthews, Nylander played together for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, they...
The better part of 2 years.
But Nylander's not a GTA guy, so
no.
We'd have to come up with a different... Well, Matthews is not either, so
no.
I guess the GTA wouldn't tie into that one.
No, it's not going to work. All right, Leafs-Pens tonight, we're teeing that up. The Raptors coming off a big win last night. Brian Windhorst will join us at ESPN to get his take on what he saw out of Kawhi, what he expects tomorrow night with Boston in town, and what we expect out of LeBron making his Lakers debut this evening. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Scott tweeting in and taking life way too seriously. Apparently, it's been the GTA line for weeks, Hyman, Tavares, Marner.
My brother's got a hot take on it. It should be the 6th line.
There you go.
I like that a lot.
Good
the 6th line.
Take from Ryan O'Neill.
Yes.
Way to work, Ryan.
Great call. Great call by Ryan O'Neill.
The 6th line.
Yep. We're going with that. That easy.
We'll take it.
LeBron in action tonight. It's a shame. It's in Portland at 10:30. Like, I'm getting old because I'm complaining about these late games. We've been complaining about baseball.
Yes.
You know, like, last night was like a 4.5 hour, 9-inning game.
That well, where's your interest level? Like, I know you like staying up watching McDavid games, but are you staying up to watch Bron out east or
yes.
out west?
This is where, even though this will sound hypocritical.
Let me guess. You're going to do it tonight, but that's probably it.
No, I'm going to watch the first little bit. I want to see him maybe play in the first half.
You right. know, I'm but not, you don't care if they win or not.
What do I care if the Lakers beat Portland or whatever, or what yeah. he does in the fourth quarter? I mean, if I'm up, then I'll be watching it. I'll be flipping around. But tonight is...
Where's your list on your docket? So Leafs?
Leafs won because yeah. it's local, clearly. And it's Leafs
7, too.
It's like at 7 o'clock.
It's an early start. You're good.
Yes. I would go...
NFL game starts at, what, 8:30?
Yeah, but it's a brutal game. Like, I don't know how much... I don't think I'm going to watch any NFL tonight.
So you'll track it on
too.
Twitter, then.
Yeah. Like, I want to see David Price pitch tonight. Okay. I want to see what he's got.
So if Price has a no-hitter going into...
He has a pair of noodle shorts on.
If Price goes into the sixth with a no-hitter, you're watching?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And then it's probably LeBron... McDavid's playing tonight. Like,
yeah.
Sid's playing tonight. McDavid's playing tonight. The Leafs are playing. LeBron's playing. Price versus Verlander. Kate Upton's going to be there. It's going to be a great night. I mean, I think the NFL probably strategically set this up. Denver, Arizona. They weren't going to throw a heater out there tonight.
But are you standing by your word? You still think that NFL game is going to do the better ratings?
Yes.
I think you're full of it. No
oh, absolutely.
Way.
I think it's the highest rated
sports show
tonight.
Didn't we have a $20? What's
tonight?
Our $20 bet from last night?
Yeah, I beat you.
I lost. I did.
You did.
Well, it wasn't last night. It was
the night before.
Two nights ago. The Thunder
Golden
covered
State.
The number.
Yeah.
You're down like $140 now.
Yeah, it's been a...
You're down a lot of money.
You've got a bad memory, Beansy.
$20.
No, Beansy, we can't keep doing this because you got a bad memory and it's fine, but...
No, don't Beansy me. I'm down $20.
All right, do you want to let it ride on the ratings conversation?
Yes.
Okay.
If that game, I'll do double or nothing.
Double or nothing, I say the highest rated sporting event tonight in the United States... Is
who
Arizona,
are you going
Denver.
To get the ratings from?
We'll find it. Like, there's okay. guys online that have it. Okay, we'll find it. We'll find a quality source, and we'll lock it in.
I got to fly. I'll be back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
You will chat then.
We're still here.
You got to leave doing the stutter step.
Yeah, go do the stutter step.
The peeler stutter?
The girls, girls, girls.
Exactly.
Textbook form. All right, gentlemen, put your hands together for the O-Dog.
Yes. Lots of loonies flying there.
A lot of people leaving, if that's the case. Brian Windhorst from ESPN on the Raptors' debut last night. Raps Celts tomorrow, what we can expect out of LeBron. And Leafs Pens will tee that up as well. Pre-game at 6:30.